Hey, get your Bible out to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and 24. Thank you for praying for me while I was in England. We had a tremendous time. I preached 8 times in 5 days. They definitely know how to work a preacher over there. We did a conference for the church over the weekend, and we did a pastor's conference on Saturday and on Tuesday. About 30 different pastors from the region, and it was an awesome time. Thank you for praying for me. I appreciate that so much. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24. For the Lord your God, matter of fact, let's read it together. Ready? Read. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Let's do it one more time. Lift your voice up a little bit higher. Say it. Ready? For the Lord your God is a consuming God, a jealous God. How many know that to be true? How many have read that scripture or heard it preached before in the negative sense that God is a consuming fire that'll burn you like toast if you don't do what he tells you? That's not the intention of that scripture. I want us to understand this morning, it's not God's plan that he would bring fiery judgment upon you for not serving him. There is nothing more compelling, nothing more attractive than desire for another that goes above and beyond. There's nothing more desirable. There's nothing more compelling. And God has a desire for you this morning. He is desirous of a intimate relationship with you. He wants to be with us this morning. And Song of Solomon 7 in verse 10 says this, I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. Why don't you just lift a hand up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your desire is towards me. Thank you, Lord, that you desire me, that you love me, that you want to be with me. Amen. You know, we've got to get this in our mind. We've got to get beyond the whole judgment mentality. I've been in this city a long time, and I've realized that there's been a stronghold in this region. And it's on legalism. It's on tradition. It's on having to be good enough and performing for God so that we can be in his good graces. I want you to know something. You don't have to do a thing, and God still loves you. Even while we were in our sin. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? You old slimy pit. I mean, I'm talking about when you were down and under. When you were refusing and in rebellion, God still loved you. God still desired you. That, to me, gets my motor running. I said, God, why? He said, you know, I found you on the side of the road. You were lying in the blood. You were there nearly dead. And I poured in oil and wine. Hallelujah. Because I believe in you. I love you. And I'll go above and beyond in order to be with you. You know, there's something in us that longs for love. Isn't it true? Have you ever found a person who has had not found love in their life? You know what happens? They often look for love in the wrong places. They find love in a bottle. They'll find love in drugs. They'll find love in illicit relationships. They'll do whatever they can. Maybe in a gang that they'll join because it's acceptance. It's something that's meeting a need. Every one of us have been programmed for love. Every one of us have been programmed for intimacy. And so much more when we come to the house of God. When we come in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is the fulfillment of what we've been looking for. And church, there's many of us as Christians who are still trying to attain significance outside of our relationship with Jesus Christ. But I want you to know today that the fire of God, the consuming fire, is first about his pleasure and holy romance. Say that with me. Holy romance. How many are romantics in this room this morning? I'm a romantic. I love to think of ways to romance my wife. I just love to do it. I just thought of a way yesterday. She was on her way out of Joshua Kids. I said, where are you going? She said, I got to go get my purse. I said, I'll get it. And so I took the keys and I went and got her purse and I carried it. And I gave it to her. I said, she goes, all I needed was my calendar. I said, well, that's okay. I could have brought just the calendar, but I brought the whole purse. Is there anything else you need? She said, you're so sweet. I said, oh, gee. I love to be romantic. I love to leave little notes in the morning. I love to do little things. We are about to engage in holy romance. God's preparing His bride. You know what I feel like? I feel like the church has been this little adolescent. 9, 10, 11 years old as the bride of Christ. Not quite ready yet to awaken love. But now we're growing and we're maturing and we're ready for our wedding day. We're ready to be courted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're ready to go on our first date with Jesus. Oh, can you imagine? You know what that little girl does when she's about to go out on her first date. She primps, man. She gets everything right. She asks her mom, what do you think of this outfit? She might change 5 times before her man comes to pick her up. But I'm telling you today, the church has this desire to be with Him like we've never been before. It has been awakened. It has been awakened. And I pray, Holy Spirit, awaken our fresh, intimate love for Jesus. Awaken it like a little girl, like a little school girl, waiting for her first love to come knocking on the door, to pin the corsage on her, to take her and escort her in the car, to take her to the prom, to just relish the time that He has with her. It's first about His pleasure and holy romance with His people. But the fire of God is secondly a manifestation of His passion that removes everything that hinders love. Hear that, please. Hear that, please. Let's have a correction in the kingdom of God. God's consuming fire is not to consume you and I. It is to consume anything that stands between us and Him. God's fiery judgment is to remove any little thing that's keeping us from Him and Him from us. God's going to judge this world. Judgment of God is going to fall. The fire of God is going to fall upon this generation. But it's not upon the people. It's going to come upon that which is separating us from His presence. I don't know what it is that's got your attention. I don't know what it is that you're attracted to besides Jesus as a believer. But I got a prophecy for you this morning. God's holy fire, jealous spirit is going to judge that thing. And if you've been trusting in money, money's coming down. If you've been trusting in material things are coming down. I want you to know that God is a jealous God. And He wants a holy romantic relationship with His bride. And in this last day, there is going to be some adjustments in the kingdom of God. Lift your hands with me and say, Jesus, come Holy Spirit, consume me. Love on me. I want to be your bride. You got to have that desire this morning, church, to be His lovely bride. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5. You see, that which attempts to step between he and his bride. He said, I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God. I believe today that Jesus is jealous. He's jealous over the time we spend in front of a television set instead of in His presence. He's jealous over the times that we have sought for things of this world that have tried to fulfill us. He's jealous. He stands there thinking, oh, I can't believe that other man has gotten my bride's attention. I don't know about you, but boy, I'll tell you, I remember the time that my wife and I don't know if we were married. I think we were just dating, but I was just incensed with love for her. I mean, I hitchhiked from Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, all the way to Toledo for 4 or 5 hours just so I could see her and turned around and hitchhiked back. It didn't matter because distance didn't matter. It didn't matter the time that it took me. I had only one thing on my mind, her beauty, her face, her presence. And I remember one time we were doing something, and I can't remember where we were, but this gentleman began to move upon her. Make a move with me there. Oh, that's a bad idea. That's a bad idea. I mean, it's bad enough if I'm not there because I will run you down. But I was there. And he started talking about some very descriptive things. Because he was an older gentleman. And he said, I remember. He said, I remember when you were just a baby and how I used to change your diaper. And he started talking along those lines. I don't have to say a whole lot more because we are in church. But I was listening to what he had to say. And suddenly something went off in me. All I saw was red screen and his face in the middle. And I said, I want you to know something, buddy. Nobody talks about my girl like that. And no, you're not going to make a move on her, and you're not going to embarrass her. You're not going to make her feel like she's less than an honorable woman. I want you to know, I took off after that man. They ripped me off. Joey, they took about 5 guys to get me up off of him. I was beating him like a pulp. I mean, I wasn't saved yet now. Come on. This was before Christ, but I might just revert back to that if you try that now too. But I was on and I was beating him. And they were ripping me off. I said, no, I'm going to kill this guy. No. He said, that's our preacher? Come on, that's our preacher? What a preacher we've got here. Plus, I was a little under the influence. You know, I was a little under the influence. I am a jealous God, he says. Whatever has been seducing you, whatever's been making a move on you, might be a girly magazine, guys. Whatever's making a move on you. Oh, God said, I'm jealous over that. I'm going to judge that. I'm a consuming fire. Don't think for a minute, if you are the bride of Christ, that you're going to continue to get away with your adulterous ways. Don't think for a minute that thing will never be revealed. Don't think for a minute, because some of us think we can manage our sin. And God's not coming to judge you as much as he's coming to judge the man that moved in on his bride. I said, oh God, give us a people, Father, that are growing up. Give us a people that are ready to become romantically involved with Jesus. This river of fiery passion began before the foundation of the world. God's fiery passion flows from his very throne. Psalm 36:18. David, in the lonely times of his worship, as he watched over the sheep, we read these scriptures that they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. I want you to know that God's river of pleasure, and the Bible tells us in Psalm 16:11, the river of pleasure flows from the very throne of God. And David, the psalmist, have you read David's Psalms and his love and longing for the presence of his God? And he said, I have drank from the rivers of this pleasure. I have drank from the consuming fire of your desire for me. And once I drink of it, I can't be the same, because this river flows from the very throne of God. Ooh. You want to get saved? It's going to mess you up. You drink of God's love, you're going to be messed up. You're not going to be the same. Backsliders often think when they fall out of love with their bridegroom Jesus that they can be fulfilled with the old relationships. You won't be satisfied. You'll be miserable. You'll be worse off than you ever imagined. Because once you drink of the pleasures of his consuming fire, once you drink of the pleasures of this river that flows from the throne of God, you'll never, ever be the same. I want to warn you, salvation comes with a jealous God. That's why the Bible says he's married to the backslider. That's why the prophet Hosea told us about Gomer, the prostitute wife. And he said, this is likened unto Israel. But Gomer was bought back a second time. Even after her adultery, he went back and bought her again. Because he's married to you. You can run, but you can't hide. You can go back to your former lovers, but you won't be satisfied. Hear me, O backslider, listen to the voice of this preacher. Once you've drank from the rivers of his pleasure, nothing will satisfy again. You might as well come back. You might as well come back and drink. You might as well, like the prodigal, determine, I must go back to my father's house. I must go back there, and maybe he'll treat me like a servant. But I got good gospel news for you. The Bible says you're no longer a servant, but you're his friend. You're his bride. He'll tie you back up again to the vine. He'll wash you off. He'll renew you. And he will put a cloak upon your shoulders and a ring upon your hand. And he'll put sandals on your feet and he'll have a feast of celebration, because my son, who was dead, is now alive again. Come on home, sinner. Come on home, O distant one. Come on back, backslider. All you lukewarm one who is gone for another lover, leave that love of this world and come back to the rivers of the pleasure that flow from the very throne of God. You see, it was Daniel in chapter 7 and verse 10 that saw this same river 500 years after David saw it in those moments of intimacy. He saw it here, a fiery stream. This is what Daniel called it. The river of pleasure is what David said. But here Daniel says a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered to him. 10,000s time 10,000 stood before him. It's a fiery stream, and Daniel saw it. It's flowing in this room this morning. It's flowing during worship. It was flowing during prayer. It's flowing right now. You've got to drink from the stream. You've got to drink from the fiery stream. And it was Daniel that saw this fiery stream. And 500 years later, let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. It was David that saw this fiery stream of God's desire and passion for his bride. And then Daniel, the great prophet who spoke of the last days in the book of Revelation and gave revealing and understanding to the kingdoms of this world and to the Antichrist rule and reign. And of course of Christ, our bridegroom, 500 years later, nearly to the very moment of Daniel's revelation, we see something happening in a place called the upper room in Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 to 4. And us Pentecostals have built an entire church kingdom on these verses. And that's why I said Thursday night, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the church shall grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We've used the word world in that text. We've got to change it, because we've got a generation and even two and three generations of Pentecostals who have become more enamored and allured by a church than they have by the very presence of the living God.
Come on.
Let the church grow dim in the light of his glory and praise.
Hallelujah.
The church grow dim. We have deeper affections for our positions in church. We have deeper love for our music and for our ways of thinking it ought to be operating than we do the very presence of Jesus. And suddenly, God interrupted their little church service. And there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind that filled the room and where they were sitting. And the Bible says, a cloven tongues of fire, like that word, fell upon them. You say, wherewith has this fire come from? Oh, it's the fire of God. It's the fire of God. And we preach about the fire of God without understanding it's the romance of God. It's His passion for His people. The same fire that David saw on the hills of Bethlehem. It's the same fire that Daniel prophesied. It's the same fire that came from the very throne room of God, flowing out, of which David drank from and was never the same. It's the same fire that fell upon each of them. A splinter of God Himself, if you will. It changed them into different people. It's incredible when the love of God hits you. You become a person who you can suddenly live with. Have you ever noticed? Ornery, cantankerous, selfish people get saved with the real love of God. And they're just out there, I love you. They're like big teddy bears. But if all they get is church, they become deacons and elders and church officials. And as ugly and self-centered and cantankerous and argumentative as they were before they met Christ, they are now only worse because they are now self-righteous. Everything has to be their way and their approval. The board must approve, first of all, before we can give you the affirmation. They don't love people because the people have to all look like them, act like them, talk like them, think like them. Said it 1,000 times, but one more will do good for good measure. Sunday morning is the most segregated time in America. Because the black don't like the white. And the white don't like the black. And the Hispanic, they don't like nobody. I'm just kidding. Church of God don't like the Assembly of God. The Assembly of God don't like the Church of God in Christ. The Church of God in Christ don't like the Church of God of Prophecy. But I dare you, take a drink of the pleasures of this river. And you won't see black, brown, white, Pentecostal, Lutheran, Catholic. You won't see anything but a soul that God has placed value upon. A person who Jesus died 2,000 years ago and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Love will mess you up. It'll make you soft. You'll be a pushover. What's happened to us? What's happened to the kingdom of God? Instead of being lovers of God, we have become lovers of pleasure found in this world. I know this is a hard word, but I have to say it. We become spiritual adulterers. And I can't say that I have not committed adultery myself. Close to a relationship, around the relationship. Driven, passionate, not about Him. It's about our goals. It's about our achievement. It's about making our mark in life. Nothing wrong with that, but that comes second. Thou shalt have, oh God, did you write this? Thou shalt have no other gods. Did he call them gods, Ron? He called them gods. I shall have no other God before me. I am the Lord thy God, and you shall worship me and me only. I want you to know this morning, I am not in love with any other woman on this planet. While you are all beautiful ladies, you have not caught my eye. Ain't nobody can do me like Tina. You know that song? Ain't nobody do me like Jesus. Ain't nobody do me like the Lord. It's amazing what a person will give up when they're in love. You ever notice how crazy people are that are in love? I mean, it doesn't really matter. Your whole life is all around this love relationship. It's crazy. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. You know, what a man. What a man Paul is. I'm thinking about this man. He continues to live through Scripture. He said, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord. All things. He said his education, his finance, his reputation. He said everything, it's lost. And then he goes on to say it's light and momentary. These things are just light and momentary. You've been shipwrecked 3 times. You've been beaten. You've been in prison. You've been stoned to death. You took stripes on your back. Not once. Jesus did it once. Paul did it, what, 3 times? And he says, light and momentary. An affliction. No problem. Because I got something flowing in me and burning in me that it turns my eyes off the things of this world. It's called my love for my God. All right. I'm thinking, God, how can we... This one thing, Paul said, I do. I press. And Timothy tells us, it is the love of God which is our goal. It's our aim. You know why today we have so many parenting seminars? We know why today we have so many marriage conferences? You know why today our families are in trouble? It's because we have not become lovers of our spouse. And if we can't even love the woman we're with, how can we love God? Isn't John say that? If you can't love him whom you see, how can you love him whom you don't see? So we come to church mad at each other and we worship. Have you ever done that? Don't raise your hand. I've done that. I was mad at that woman God gave me. And I had to start blessing the Lord. God said, wait a minute, hold it, time out. You can't love that chick next to you. What you giving me praise for? I said, well, that's her and this is you. Okay, let's go back to Matthew 22. What does it say? Love the Lord your God. All your what? Heart. Soul, might, strength, and look at your wife today if you're here with her and say, hi, neighbor. Ah, shoot. I gotta love you like I love the Lord. Come on, somebody. Oh, God, she's ugly. I like that old song, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, make an ugly woman your wife. If you want my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you. I like that part. Hey, man, I saw your wife the other day. She ugly. Yeah, but she can sure cook. How many know that love is not based on physical appearance? Natural things, it's covenant. We as a church have got to begin to romance Jesus I want you to know the word of the Lord coming to the church in this hour. Be ready. Get prepared. The bridegroom is coming. He is coming for a prepared bride. A bride whose love has not been awakened before time. Who is out in the streets and in the middle of tribulation looking for his appearing. And is calling out his name in the middle of the night. Who is consumed by his glory and consumed by his presence. Those are the people that God is coming for. Some of you have been dating Jesus long enough. Either marry him or go find another lover. Have you ever heard Ann Landers? Remember when she was in the paper? How about Oprah? Oh yeah, you've been going with him how long? 7 years. Well, that's enough tribulation. Why don't you all get married? Well, I'm not sure I'm ready for a commitment. That's sort of the way it's been in the kingdom. We kind of like come to church for 20 years, but we're really not ready for a commitment. When are you going to marry? Gone to the chapel and I'm going to get married. Why don't you marry Jesus this morning? Why don't you marry him? I'm not sure I'm ready for that. We're just going to live together. I'm going to move in. Share expenses. I know when I was a kid growing up and you heard somebody living together, it was like, oh, they're living together, they ain't married. Oh, do you remember that? It was like, don't tell nobody. Now, it's like you're all married. You're actually married? Wow, I'm impressed. Yeah, but we got a contractual relationship just in case. Prenuptials, you know what I mean? This woman ain't taking me for all I've got. I'm telling you right now, I work way too hard for this hussy to come in here and take all my money. We approach... Y'all looking at me funny. It's Sunday morning. We look at marriage in the natural. It depicts... the church. Lovesick. You know, when you're lovesick, you are weird. Try to tell a lovesick teenager she can't talk on the phone to her boyfriend. She'll fight you. I mean, you're her mother. You gave her birth. You cleaned her in her mess, fed her when she was hungry, sick, and you comforted her, and now she's lovesick. And you tell her, you can't talk on the phone. You think she's going to listen to you? How many of you girls listened to your mother when she said, don't talk to him, don't see him, don't write him no notes? I'm telling you, nothing. How many of you listened to him? Look, not one hand went up in this room. One hand. Okay, bless you. Lovesick people. When you're lovesick, you don't care who's around. Say, come over here, baby. Mwah. I'm telling you, Abraham, Isaac, those dudes didn't care. Out in public, they were fondling one another. It's in the Bible now. Don't get nervous. They were touching each other like a man and wife in public because Abimelech saw them. He said, you're trying to bring a curse on me? I got your wife. How come you didn't tell me? She thought, well, I thought, you won't kill me if I... She's my sister. Children today are the most secure when they know mom and dad are in love. When children grow up in a home where mom and dad are romantically in love. Kids grow up and go, whew, this is cool. But where there's friction... where there's friction, where there's fault finding, the children are insecure. I'll never forget the night when my father came home drunk as an alcoholic young in my life, and my mother had it, screaming at him. I'm listening from my bed, shuddering. It rocked my world. And then, when my mother picked up the knife and my father said, knife down. I thought I was going to lose my father. My world came crashing down in an instant. I imagined myself with no father and a mother gone to prison. They were just having a fight. My wife was a grown woman with her own children. After 41 years of marriage, her father left her mother for the neighbor. After 10 children, 41 years of marriage, he got it on with the neighbor. Had a baby that child had been in their home for 12 years and didn't know it was their father's baby. They lied to cover it up and said it was this woman across the street's ex-husband who came in and raped her. And it all came out. And it rocked my adult wife's world. And some of you have gone through a broken home. Father left your mother for another woman. Mama walked out on you. You've grown up in an alcoholic home, an abusive home. And it's brought insecurity and insignificance in your life. And you're looking for purpose. Church, if it does that to us in the natural, what does it do to these young people in the spiritual? I need your help this morning. If you just get up on your feet, all the fusion, just the fusion. Come here. Come on out here a minute. Just come on out here. Help me. I mean, you just got to stand there and look cool. That's all. Just come on out here. Out here in the front, just kind of spread out, because I'm going to tell you something. You may think they're not your kids. You may think you have no responsibility to each of these. But let me tell you why, in record numbers, when they get to be 18, they don't come back to church. You know why they don't come back to church? Because they grow up watching the church. Mom, the church, and Jesus, Dad, not in love. No passion. No romance. And it brings insecurity into them. It brings insignificance to their heart. It brings insecurity and insincerity. They see it. They're not looking at it as being real. They're thinking this is a joke. And so what they begin doing when they become of age, they start looking for love. But they didn't find it in the church. You say, well, wait a minute, honey. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Your daddy loves you even though he's with that hussy over there. Yeah, really? Mommy loves you, even though she's in rehab. Mom loves you. You can tell them that all day long, and it doesn't impact them. We have a responsibility, and I swear before the Lord, I sense it in my heart. I know God spoke to me and said, we will be responsible when the coming of Christ comes to this earth for every young person who walked away from this family because they did not see the romance between the bride and the bridegroom. You guys can go sit down if you like. You can stay up here and help me preach. They're your kids. When you're lovesick, you'll disturb the status quo. You'll threaten religion. You can't be bribed. You can't be bought. When you're lovesick, you cannot be controlled because you have no fear. When you're lovesick, you'll make spiritually violent lifestyle for the violent take it by force. There'll be an alabaster anointing upon you. It won't matter. You just want to get in the presence of Jesus. You're not going to be self-conscious to worship. You come to the forefront of this auditorium and you bow in adoration and you say, God, I am but a sinner, but today you have bestowed upon me your grace and your love. I am forever grateful. Oh, there's other people here, I'm sorry. An alabaster anointing
She took her hair and wiped his feet, washed his feet with her tears. Because much that has been forgiven, much love. Holy Spirit is wooing a generation back to Him in intimacy and romance. Because something happens when people can recognize the gold of the pleasure of this romance. Put up Job 22, 23 through 26, and I'll close with this. Listen to the scripture that Job writes. Job went through literal hell on this earth, ladies and gentlemen. He went through struggle and trial and lost everything. It says, if you'll return to the Almighty, you will be built up. You will remove iniquity far from your tents. Next scripture. Then you will lay your gold. Then you will lay your gold in the dust. And the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brooks. Yes, the Almighty will be your gold and your precious silver. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim. The Rolex watches and the Mercedes Benz. The jewelry and the inheritance and your stocks and bonds and your investments become like dust. And His presence is like gold. And the Laodicean church in Revelation was identified and said, you think you have need of nothing, but yet you are naked, wretched, and poor. And blind, buy of me. Would you love on Him with me right now? Come on, lift your hand. Would you love on Him right now? Would you tell Him, Jesus, I'm coming back. Jesus, I'm coming back. Jesus, I'm coming back. I'm coming into an alabaster anointing, Jesus. I'm coming back, Jesus. I'm coming back. I want that intimacy. I want that romance. I want that right now, Jesus. I want it right now, Jesus. I want it right now, Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're not right with God and you know that if you were to die today that you would not go to heaven, but you want to go to heaven and not hell, then I want you to stand to your feet. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you're away from God. Stand to your feet and say, I must come. I must come to Jesus. I must come back to Him now. I want to open this altar to any man, any woman who would say, I've got to have Jesus. The scripture says, I'd rather have Jesus. The song says, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus. I want Him. I want Him more than anything. I have to have Him. I want Him. I need Him. He's my all in all. He's my everything. Thank you, consuming fire, for judging the things around me and sparing my life. It's been hard, but thank you. Thank you for removing the lovers from my life. Thank you for washing me with hyssop, cleansing me. Thank you for not taking the joy of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for restoring unto me my salvation. Thank you, Lord. For your infinite grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord. How good you are. Thank you. I love you, Jesus. I want us to take just 120 seconds more with nobody moving around. And I want us to stand to our feet and worship Jesus. Come on, let's get intimate with God. Come on, let's get intimate with Jesus. Love on Him.
Still you forgive.
Isn't He a good God?
Only I ask. And how many times have you heard me pray? Draw near to of glory. King of glory, King of all. Oh, how many times have I broken your heart? Still you forgive. Only I ask. And how many times have you heard me pray?
I want you to do something, if you will. Just lift your hands before the Lord. Father, we give ourselves to you right now. We submit our hearts fresh and new. From this day forward, Father, we will forsake all others and only love you. In Jesus' name. Church, I'm going to ask you to do something I often say every Sunday, but may it have a different significance today than it ever has. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Brother Joey's going to come and close us in prayer. Have a great afternoon in Jesus. Drink from the rivers of his pleasure. Your life will never be the same. We love you. Thank you, Joey.
Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for the word today. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you do me just a favor this morning? Would you just take your hand and just lay it on your neighbor's shoulder? Can we just pray a prayer of blessing and that we'd all fall in love with him all over again today? As a young man falls in love with his first girlfriend, can we just fall in love with him today? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Father, we thank you for the word today. And God, I pray today, Lord, that each and every one that stands in this assembly this morning, God, that they would fall in love with you this morning, God, in a new way. God, even though we've been in this way, Lord, many, many years, but could we just fall in love with you over and over again this morning, God? Father, we ask you that you would touch each and every one that's standing and sitting in this place this morning. God, as we speak blessing upon them. God, as we speak blessing upon our pastor, God, as he makes his way to Beachwood today. God, we speak blessing upon him today, him and his family, and those that are there preparing for this afternoon service. And God, we pray for those that are here today, God, as they leave this place. God, we speak blessing upon them, those that didn't come this morning. God, that they would come before it's too late. God, that they would come to know you, Lord, that you love them, and that they would come to love you in a way, God, that they've never seen nor experienced in their life. And God, we thank you today for the word. We thank you for this house. And we ask you to bless each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.